Everybody say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good.
You know, you didn't have to be here this morning. It's because of not your goodness, but because of God's goodness that we are here. And we ought to be eternally grateful for that. And if you are eternally grateful, let's say amen. Thank you, Lord. God is good. The scripture was read for your hearing from John, the 15th chapter, verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This morning, we want to talk for a few minutes about without Jesus, we can do nothing. But before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, we are so thankful this morning that you have blessed us. You woke us up this morning, Heavenly Father. You allowed us to get up this morning, Heavenly Father. You allowed us to dress ourselves, Heavenly Father. You gave us clothes to put on, food to eat, and a roof over our heads on last night. We thank you, Lord. Father, we're here today because of your goodness, not because we're so good, but we're eternally grateful for all you do for us. We thank you, Father, this morning for this local congregation here, the Stony Island Church of Christ. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders and their families. We thank you for the brothers and their family who have taken part in the services thus far. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless them and bless this congregation that they might have men to spare to do the work of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to be with those who are here already and for those who may be coming. We just pray that they can arrive with safety and security. We pray for those who are missing today, especially those who may be traveling. We pray that you give them safe passage that they may reach their destination and then be able to return safely to be with us on the next appointed time, if it be your will. Father, we thank you and pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for all of those that are sick this morning. We pray for those that are here with us that are not feeling as well as they'd like to, but just thank God they're feeling at all. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for our leaders in our world today, our politicians. We may not like all of the politicians that we have to live under their rules and regulations, but Father, we just pray that you give them the ability to not make any rules and regulations that would affect our worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray for the service people who are stationed all around this world. We pray that if it be your will that you would bring them home soon and that they might be safe. And we thank you for them keeping us safe by standing at the front line of trouble situations. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the parents who are raising their children up, and we pray that they are raising them up in the admonition of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for providing him to us, that he died on yonder's cross to save us and give us an opportunity at the tree of life. We thank you so much for everything you have done for us, everything you shall do and everything you will do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Let the church say, amen. This morning, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Nothing may be defined as non-existent, not anything, in other words. There's an old saying that says that nothing from nothing leaves nothing. The point is clear that according to the words of Jesus, without me you can do nothing. A clearer picture is given in John 1 and verse number 3, where it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We owe our beginnings to God. Without him, we would not be here. You know, and I say this quite often from this pulpit here. I tell you that without God, we would not be anything. Well, I'm going to show you a few nothings this morning in God's Word. Without Him, there would be nothing. As I just previously read, without Christ, even this world would not exist. The very first scripture in God's Word tells us of the origin of the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1 and 1. Job said it this way in Job 26 and verse 7. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. Nothing. There's that word again. We cannot see what holds the earth in its place, but we certainly know who knows what holds the earth in place. If you ask someone of a scientific nature type person, he would tell you that the earth spins on its axis and that it came through an evolution. Church, I prefer the biblical version. Without it, it says, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? The answer is God. Without God, there would be no sun, no moon, no stars. According to the psalmist in Psalms 8 and 3, he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. It was the fingers of God. He took nothing and made something out of it. Isn't God wonderful, church? He even decided to make man out of the dust of the ground. One of our dearly beloved elders used to say all the time, we are nothing but dirt. He breathed into man's nostril and gave him life, according to Genesis 2 and verse 7. He even made woman, that man may have a help meet. Provided the world's first transplant plant, where he took the rib of a man and made a woman. In other words, he made something out of nothing but a rib. Genesis 2 verses 21 through 23. There are those who will tell you that it's a mystery where the world began from and how it continues on. But I believe we know where the answer may be found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3, where the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Have faith in the word of God and you will understand that God is He who made all things and all beings. Without Him, we have nothing. Everything we have is given to us through the goodness of God. But we need to understand that none of what we have is ours forever. No matter what we accumulate in this lifetime, as long as we live, yet when we leave this world, it no longer is ours. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 7. We brought nothing into this world, and nothing certain, and for certain, it is certain that nothing we can carry out. So what should we be doing instead of stockpiling stuff? Notice, if you will, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19 and 20, not to lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves will steal. Instead, put it in the heavenly treasures where it will be safe from corruption. Lay up treasures in heaven, in other words. Everything we have is because of God blessing us. His love, His mercy, and His grace. In other words, we would have nothing if it were not for the Lord. Do you remember the biblical story where Jesus raised the question in Luke 12 around about verse number 20, where he was speaking to the rich man? Jesus called him a fool and asked him, "Who shall these things be when that thou hast provided?" He continued speaking to the rich man, saying, "He that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God." In other words, while you are filling your bottom line, you need to think about your heavenly line. You need to think, where am I going when this life is all over? You need to ask yourself the question, is it more important that I stockpile stuff up here on earth, or is it more important whether I stockpile up with heaven, with my heavenly Father? You need to ask yourself the question. So when you go back to the text, it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit," much fruit. "Without me, ye can do nothing." While we're adding to our bottom line, we must remember who makes it all possible for us. With God, nothing is impossible. Somebody may say, "Well, how do you know this?" I'll tell you how. Because it's stated in God's word in Luke 1 and verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." That does not say there may be some, it does not say there may be some things that God can't do. It uses the word nothing. Nothing shall be impossible. Or if you want to see it another way, all things with God are possible. That's looking at it the other way. But in a different way, Luke 18 and verse number 27, Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Man can't do what God can do. Man cannot pray a prayer that is too hard for God to answer. I read in his word about a king who had was told to get his house in order because he was going to die. You remember the story of Hezekiah in 2 Kings. Do you not remember? Well, Hezekiah was told to get his house in order, for he was going to die. Hezekiah began to pray, and oh, what a prayer that must have been. Because God granted him 15 more years to his life. Isn't that something, church? I told you God is good. God will keep all promises that he ever made. He promised to send the Comforter to us. In other words, the Holy Spirit. Man didn't do it, church. God did it. No soul is too far away that he cannot save it. In Hebrews 7 and 25, he is able to save them who come unto him. He makes intercessions for them. When things seem to go haywire, God can make them all well again. All we need to do is pray, be prayerful to him and ask him. Admit to him that you need help in your life. We've got to accept the fact that man does not have a heaven to put us in, nor a hell to put us in. Isn't it amazing how that God took a little dirt up from the ground and made man? This is why I can't understand how some people can think they're so much more than others. We're all the same. Thank you, Brother Lowe. If you ask God for something, and sometimes you wonder why he doesn't answer, well, my suggestion to you is don't quit praying. He will answer you when he gets ready. God is in charge of answering prayer. We're in charge of asking God through prayer. But God does the answering. Remember, when we are down to nothing, God is up to something. Christians should especially know that it's never too late for God to answer us. He took nothing and made something out of it. In Psalms 24 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." God owns everything, church. There's nothing in this world that God doesn't own, or that he didn't make, or that he didn't create. It's all his, church. Don't worry about what somebody tells you about the world's existence and its beginning. Just learn to be thankful for the time God gives us upon this earth. Why concern yourself with questions anyway that not at all belongs to, it all belongs to God and we as well. God has all power in his control. He owns heaven. We need to just live like we want to get there. Let's get there, and then we can ask him when you see him, Lord, how did you do it? Why did you do it? Wherefore do I fit into your plan, O Lord? How did I make it to heaven, O Lord? I got so many questions, he'll probably just stop talking to me, and I'm going to try to get to ask him all the questions that I have in my life. I want to know some things, O Lord. I want to understand some things. Can you tell me why? And then I'll read my list of things that I've got to ask him. But I tell you something, church. Without the Lord, we are nothing. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. And without the Lord, we have nothing. Remember the text, I am the vine, ye are the light branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And look at verse number 6 as I continue. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and in my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I tell you, church, God is a nothing maker, someone who can make something out of nothing. He has proven it over and over again. When he made this world and he gave us this world to use while we're here, just think about it, if you will, church. Without God, there would be no world. Without God, there would be no us. Without God, we have nothing. Without God, we are nothing. But I tell you, church, when you consider how great God is and how good he is to us, you know, great people in this so-called great people on this earth, they usually won't have anything to do with people who are of lower stature, considered to be lower stature than them. But God deals with all people. God knows what he's doing. Do you remember what the text says? Without me, ye can do nothing. Well, without Jesus, we can do nothing, church. Without Jesus, we are nothing and we have nothing. And so I want to tell you this morning, when you got up this morning, you didn't get up on your own. When you woke up this morning, you rolled over and looked out your window and you saw darkness. You said, I got enough time to go back to sleep again. When you looked out of the window the next time, you saw light coming in. Well, you didn't wake up on your own to see the light. It was God who provides the light, and he provided you the ability to wake up again. And don't say you're ready. Don't blame it on your radio and say the alarm went off. God woke you up. God is awesome. God is an awesome God. God is a good God. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Keep that in mind all the rest of the week, church. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, we are nothing. Without Jesus, we have nothing. When you think about it, and you ask yourself the question, isn't it marvelous living on this earth? There's water to drink. There's food to eat. And how many of you have went outside and planted food to eat? God gives you food whether you plant it or not. God gives us water to drink. You didn't make the rain come down. God did. You didn't make the earth to be watered over and over again. And you know, we ought to thank God anyway for the rain, because we could be getting snow. And this rain brings water to us. And the water provides for us to drink, for us to bathe in, for us to clean things in, for us to cook with. And so God is awesome, is a good God. God is good all the time, church. And when I consider how much goodness there is to us from God, I think to myself, am I deserving of this? But God feels that I'm deserving of what he gives me, and I thank him for it, and you ought to thank him for it too. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, as a matter of fact, church, let's read down from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. That brings us to, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Church, you ought to consider how good God is. You ought to consider in your own mind how great God is. You ought to consider in your own mind that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we need to rejoice and be glad in it. For God is good all the time. And I know that my time is drawing to a close, and I'm about to bring it down to a close now. But when I consider all the goodness that God has in for us, has given us, I consider all that he has done for us. I consider what he is going to continue to do for us if we continue to live. I consider that God is all right, church. Do you say it like you mean it? Do you know that God is all right, church? God is good. And all the time, God is good. And when I look up, you know, I'll take myself, use myself as an example. Just a couple of weeks ago when we were out of town, I looked out the window of that airplane and I saw the snow-capped mountains out in the west. And I said to myself, how great God is. He put snow in the mountaintops, but he didn't put it on the ground. I said, how good God is. He maketh me to be able to fly up in the air and not fall. Oh, I want you to know, I prayed for the pilot now. I asked you to pray for him too, but I also prayed for him because I needed that plane to stay up in the air. And I know that it's the goodness of God that allowed it to stay up in the air. And I wonder sometimes just how the plane can stay up in the air. But you know, I don't want to get into any scientific methodology or anything like that, because I'm not that smart. But one thing I do know, that it's God that caused that plane to stay up in the air. And when I looked out at those magnificent mountains and that earth below, I thought to myself, Lord, just keep me up here just until the pilot decides to put us down. And I did. I was kept up there. We were kept up there. A whole plane full of people. And you know something? God is so good to us that he gives us this ability to get from place to place in a little time when you're flying. Now, I don't like flying per se, but I tell you something about flying. It gets me to my destination in a shorter period of time. I'm a little bit afraid of flying, I'll be honest with you. But I have to get up there if I want to get to my destination. You know what I mean. I used to like to drive a lot, Sister Taylor can vouch for me on this. She likes to drive now. But I tell you something. Driving is not what it used to be to me anymore. I used to be able to hit the highway, and 10 hours later, I'll finally step out of the car and say, "Ooh, I think I'm getting a little tired." But now I can probably drive about 2 hours, and I'll say I'm tired and ready to get out from under the wheel now. But I'll tell you something. God can provide us long-distance travel if He wants to. God is all right, church. God is good. And when I consider just how wonderful He made each and every one of us, how wonderfully made we are, I consider that God didn't make any mistakes. God made us just the way He wanted us to be. And we don't want to get into a subject about some people who want to be what they think they should be, or what they think they feel like they ought to be. Just thank God for what you have and what you are, and be thankful to Him. Now, I know that there are some in here who may be asking the question, how can I become a member of the Lord's body? Well, first of all, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And it's not too cold outside, it's not too warm. Brother Jackson will baptize you today. But if you are a member but you've walked astray and you need to come back home, then ask the Lord to forgive you, walk forward and stand before the church, ask the church to pray with and for you that you may gather strength and you may continue to live a God-fearing life. Without God, we are nothing. Without God, we can have nothing. Without God, we are nothing. And we in this world would not exist if it were not for God. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.